We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 6 this evening, and we're going to look at those verses we just sang. Proverbs chapter 6, and beginning with verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 20. Those verses again say, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." As a child, we had a number of cats on our farm. And most of the cats were tame, but we had a few feral cats. And I remember one time, I was probably about Levi's age, and I found a nest of kittens. They were hidden away behind some hay in a corner. Little tiny kittens. And I reached in to pick one up. And if I wasn't careful, I wouldn't have had a hand left. That went ballistic. It was hissing and snarling and snapping and scratching, ready to kill me. It was a feral little cat. All right. I learned my lesson. You don't reach in a nest of little feral kittens. They'll tear you to pieces. You know, humans are a lot like feral cats and many other wild creatures for that matter. We're born rebellious. It's the way it is. We're born rebellious. And if not tamed, we become a menace and a danger to society. That's why we live in a society like where it is today, full of people that are like those feral little kittens that are not safe to be around. And God has ordained that fathers and mothers are to tame or train their children in the way that they should go. And that's no little task. That's a big task. Instructing on parenting here in Proverbs chapter 6, God gives us His instructions and His reasons and His promises to parents and to young people to have a happier and more productive life. Let's take a look at how. That's an important thing. You stop and think about that. We all would like to be happy and productive. That's part of life. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be productive in some way. I mean, there's not very many people in life that just say, "I don't want to do anything. I don't want to be productive. I just want to sit and rot." You know, most people don't have that philosophy. Sometimes people, they do that, but they don't have that in their thinking. That's not their goal in life. So we want to be productive. We want to do something that's going to make us fulfilled. And God tells us how we can do that in a way that will be helpful to us. First of all, He gives us some instructions here. God's instructions instruct children through their parents. And He begins there, and God has given parents the duty to establish rules and laws for their home. Notice there again in verse 20, first verse, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." All right, so the father and the mother are the ones that God has ordained to be the ones laying out the rules and the instructions. And so it was God's idea. And, you know, it's no small task to take that on board. When I was young, I used to think, "Oh, that'll be a breeze." The older I got, the more I learned it wasn't a breeze. And I look back at it now and I realize it was a major task. And I probably didn't do as good a job as that I should have. In fact, I know I didn't do as good as I could have or should have. It's not an easy task. But God has placed parents, moms and dads and moms, in charge of setting commandments and laws for their children in their homes. Dads, God says, must think through the issues of life so thoroughly that they can give clear and biblical commands to their children to deter them from heartache. That's a big task. To think through the issues of life. To think, what are they going to face? What are the problems they're going to face? What are the trials they're going to face? What are the heartaches they're going to face? So that I can warn them and prepare them and protect them so that they don't face heartaches and problems later on. And mothers have an equally difficult task. They must have biblical laws for their children that provide instruction and direction and teach them customs and manners and teaching them that will guide them in life. Now, it's both mom and dad's job to do these things. They work together in harmony at it, but it is a big task. But why did God lay it out here in this way? He said fathers were to give the commandments, mothers were to give the laws. And commandments and laws differ in their content. You know, as we look at this, the commandments were rules. They're like fences. You know, we had on our farm fences in our barnyard, the yard around our barn. And we trained the calves when they were young in those fences. They were electric fences. Now, they wouldn't kill you, but they'd make you jump. All right? And you wouldn't want to do it two or three times. It's a zap that'll make you jump, but it's not going to hurt you. But we trained them in there. Why? Because we knew that if they didn't learn to stay in the fences, once we let them out on the paddock, they would walk right through these fences and go off and wander off and hurt themselves. I remember one sad incident. My dad bought two beautiful red Hereford calves. They were just little things. When my brother and I were just young. We were probably about these young boys' age. And he bought them for us for Christmas. It was kind of like a Christmas present for him, but, you know, Dad was thinking of his own profit too. But he bought it kind of a profit, a gift for all of us. And these two calves were beautiful little calves. But they were feral. They had come from my uncle's farm where they had roamed the paddocks all their life. They had never been touched by humans. They were wild. And we tried our best to tame them down and calm them down. But when Dad put them out in the fence, they just charged through that fence like it wasn't even there. Didn't pay any attention to it. They got loose and they ran 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 some more and they ran some more until one of them dropped dead. And the other one ran and ran and ran until we caught it. And a few days later, it too died. We couldn't catch them. They ran for kilometers. We chased them across people's farms. We could not catch them. They were feral. And why did that happen? Because they didn't learn to stay in the fences. And it ruined their lives. Broke my dad's heart, too, of course. He had paid quite a bit for those little things. But they were feral. They were wild. And God says that dads are to set up fences for their children. These fences are the commandments. Don't cross that line. That's why God gives us the Big Ten Commandments. God says, don't cross the line. Thou shalt not steal. God didn't put that there as a suggestion. He says, don't steal. Don't lie. Don't do the adultery and disobeying your parents and all the other commands. All right, they were all there as a fence and said, this will keep you in out of trouble. Don't cross that. So commandments are boundaries. They're fences to protect. They're there to keep young people from making a mess of their lives. Many young people scar and destroy their lives with drugs and alcohol and crime and sex because their dads set up no fences for them. Got a world full of young people that don't even know who Dad is. And if they do, Dad doesn't care. Do what you want. And they're roaming the streets, no fences. They do what they want. They get involved in all of these problem issues, drugs and alcohol and sex and crime. And their lives are scarred. And they hurt themselves. And then later on they wish they could get a job and they can't because everybody knows them as a criminal. And they try to settle down and they struggle because they've never been taught. They don't know how. They don't have fences around them. And so the fences, the commandments are fences. But the laws here, the laws are instructions and directions. And mother is to spend instructional time with the children often. You know, moms are the ones that spend a lot of the time with the kids because they're with them more than dads usually are. And that's probably why the Lord laid it down in the way he did here. It isn't that dad can't give laws and mom can't give commands, but they work together on these things. Her duties are to help dad instill the practical and social and moral and spiritual foundations in their lives. Moms and dads work together in harmony to biblically protect and to instruct their children. It's no small issue. It's a big, big job. And children then must obey and not forsake these. Notice what God says here. He says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." So two stern things. First of all, he says, keep it. That means to guard or preserve it or to observe it. Guard or preserve or observe the commandments. When you see the fence, instead of running through the fence, say, "That fence is there for my good, and I appreciate that. I don't understand it. I don't like it. It bugs me, but it's there for my good." And you know, there's a lot of fences in life that are like that, that we may not understand why they're there. They may not even seem fair, but they're there. And there's a reason behind it to help us. And so these rules and laws are there, and God says, keep them. And he says, forsake not the law of thy mother. The word forsake there basically means to ignore. Do not ignore your mother's laws and instructions. Then he tells children, he says, that they need to continually bind these rules and instructions in their heart. That's an important thing. And you know, a lot of young people, they don't take that to heart. To bind it in your heart. Now, God's not saying, you know, open up your heart there and cram something. He's not talking literally, but he's talking about figuratively binding them deep down inside so that we hold them in. Now, how do we bind things in our heart? How do you bind something in your heart that's really important to you? How do you do that? Well, we do that through, first of all, by accepting them as from God. If you look at those fences and those laws and you say, "I hate the fences and I hate the laws and I don't want to do the laws," and you forget about the fact that God gave your parents to put those laws and fences there, then you're not going to bind them in your heart. But if you look at them and say, "I may not understand why that fence is there, but I am glad that it's there. I'm glad that it's there. And I accept it. I accept it." That's one of the ways you can bind it in your heart. Another way to bind it in your heart is to realize that they're for your good. To actually admit, "I don't know why the fences are there. I don't know why the laws are there. But I know they're for my good. I know that." And that's sometimes hard. As young people, many times, young people look at their parents as if they were old-fashioned and out of touch and ignorant, and they don't know what they're talking about. But mom and dad have been down that road before. And mom and dad have crossed some of those trails before. Mom and dad know what heartache lies behind those unseen things. And so they put up fences and laws, and they're for our good. So bind them by realizing they are for my good. And then bind them also. This is another one that sometimes we may overlook, but it's real important. Memorize verses that deal with those things. All right? If dad says that you're to guard your eyes, then memorize verses that talk about guarding your eyes. If dad says you're supposed to, there's a fence here to keep you from lying, then memorize verses that deal with lying. Colossians chapter 3, is it? It's got one in there that says, "Lie not one to another." You know, memorize things like that. That'll help to bind it in your heart. Now, why is it important to have a bound in your heart? Well, it's because later on you're going to need that, and it'll be there to help you. We'll see that in a moment. And children are also to tie them about their neck. Now, I don't think that God is literally saying wear a necklace around your neck with verses on a little chain that you can look at all. That's a good idea, but I don't think that's necessarily what he's talking about. When a person would wear something around their neck, it was usually a necklace of some sort, and many times in Bible days, maybe a gold chain. Remember when, one of those guys that did something that he was supposed to, the king put a gold chain around his neck, alright? And so it was an honor. It was a privilege. It was something that held precious. Wow, I got a gold chain. This is valuable. Then there was You know, another way of looking at it is we can tie things around on a rope and put it around our neck so that we don't lose it. You know, you may have a key or we have the card key for the doors here, and I wear it around a rope on my neck. Why? Because I know if I put it anywhere else, I'll forget it where I put it, and I'll lose it. So it's there so you won't lose it. So the idea here is put it on you some way, and so you're not going to lose it. You're going to remember it. It's going to be valuable to you. And God is commanding you to value your parents' rules and instructions so much that you will adopt them in your heart and keep them close to you so that you'll never ignore them. Very important. We need these things in our heart. Now, God goes on and He tells us some reasons. So we've looked at God's instructions. Now let's take a look at God's reasons. These are really important. Look at verse number 22. He says, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." Three reasons. Parental rules instruct and they are beneficial. He says these rules are beneficial to you. Number one, He says, when you go, it will lead you. Now, stop and think with me for a moment. Most of you have been in a situation like this. And next week, Wednesday, Melody and I are going to get on a jet flying across the country, headed for America. Now, on that jet, how many pilots are going to be on that jet? Two. All right. Why two? Well, because if one of them gets sick or suddenly has a heart attack and dies, there's somebody there to take over. So what happens if both of them suddenly die? What's going to happen to that plane? It's probably going to crash. Autopilot. Well, hope the autopilot works. But there's the idea here is you need someone driving. Same thing when a person driving down the freeway and they suddenly have a heart attack. Collapse on the wheel. What happens? Most of the time it's a crash because nobody's leading. Nobody's leading. And God tells us here that when you go, it will lead you. And God is saying here that these fences and these laws are rules that will lead you so that you don't crash in life. There's a lot of problems in life, and He says you're going to crash if you don't have something to lead you. And the laws and the rules of mom and dad are there to lead us. You know, this is true in other areas of life besides airplanes. You know, you ever ask yourself, why do birds migrate? That's a good question. Melody and I were talking about that this afternoon. She saw a big flock of birds fly by, and she said, are they going to migrate? I said, I don't think so. Do birds around here migrate? Anybody scholarly about that? All right. So apparently some of them do. But in the northern countries where it's cold, the birds fly south to the warmth during the winter, and then they later go back. How do they learn how to do that? How do they know where to go? They always go to the same place. You know, the same thing with fish in the sea. How do they go back to their spawning ground, where they were born? How do they know? God has placed an instinct in them to lead them, to guide them. Without that, they'd be in big trouble. The same thing with a honeybee. You watch a little honeybee, and he finds some nectar, or if you put a little dish of sweet water out there, he'll find that. And when he finds that, he goes back, and in a few minutes, there's a whole bunch of them there. How did they know? He goes back to the nest, and if you've ever seen one of those creation science video type things that tell you about those kind of things, the bee goes back there and he does this fancy little dance in there, and he tells them through that little dance which direction to go, how far away it is, how sweet it was, and then the others can follow that instruction and go back and find that dish of nectar. Amazing. Instinct. God did that to lead them. Now, if we don't have something in us to lead us and direct us, we will have problems. Just like the birds and the planes and the bees, without leadership, we will crash. And so it is in our personal lives. We need that parental leadership to guide us and direct us to keep us from crashing. So He says, when you go, it will lead you. Then He says, when you sleep, it will keep you. When you sleep, it'll keep you. How will obeying your parents and cherishing their rules keep you while you sleep at night? I thought on that for a while. And, you know, here's some things that came to my mind. It will keep you from doing things at night that are sinful. You know, a lot of young people out there tonight, this very night, that don't have their parents guiding them. They have no fences in their life. They have no rules in their life. They have no laws in their life. They can do whatever they want to, whenever they want to, whatever. And they're out there, and they'll spend half of this night out there partying, drinking, taking drugs, in sexual situations, getting themselves in trouble, stealing, causing crimes around the community. Why? Because there's no laws in their lives. There's no guidance in their lives. And they do what they please. And they will ruin their lives that way. Another thing that will happen is that if you are obeying what you're told and obeying what mom and dad have put in your life, you will be able to sleep in peace without guilt. What a blessing. Instead of laying there squirming and hoping that, you know, you don't get caught for whatever you did, and that nobody will know, and trying to hide and sneak around, you can lay there in peace. Why? Because you stayed inside the fences. But as soon as you crawl out under the fence, or you jump over the fence and you escape the fence and you go do what you want and then come back, then there's guilt, then there's worry, there's fear. And God says here that if you keep the laws, they're going to give you peace. You'll have a sleepy night and it'll be a sweet time. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 24 says that when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet. That's what we want. There's nothing better than a good night of sleep. The older I get, the fewer those are. I remember back as a youngster, you drop your head on the pillow at night and you don't hear a single sound until somebody wakes you up and shakes you. Come on, get out of bed next morning. Well, those days are gone. But those sleep is a wonderful thing. And he says you can sleep in peace if you stay inside the fences. And God will bless if you'll do that. Then he goes on and he says that when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. When you awake, it'll talk to you. Now, how do these things talk to you? Well, the idea here is that we'll have these thoughts in our minds of what dad and mom have taught us, the instructions. We've got these fences around us, and they will be there in our conscience to guide us. You know, there's a great temptation, and young people, you think about this, and I would almost guarantee there's been times you've thought these things in your mind. You've thought about your friends and say, it's not fair. My friends can do this and this and this and this, and they don't have all these rules. They don't have to do this, and they don't have to do this, and they don't have to do this. And you envy them for that. Is that good? Well, stop and think about it. That's actually very foolish thinking, because they're the ones that are going to suffer for it. You know, in my garden, I have two grapevines. They're just young new ones. And I had a choice. You can plant that grapevine in there and just forget it's there and let it do its own thing, and it'll crawl around and it'll kind of do whatever it wants, but it'll never produce very well. But instead, I had to trim off some of the side branches, force it to follow a wire, tie it to that wire where it didn't want to stay, keep it going the direction I wanted it, trim off the things that were extras on it so that it'll grow in the right direction, and one of these days I'm going to have a productive, fruitful grapevine because I trained it and I forced it to do what it didn't want to do. And that's the only way you're going to get grapes to produce well in a grapevine is by training them, forcing them to do what they don't want to do. You know, without parental rules and laws, you will lack direction, protection, and counsel. And instead of envying your peers when they get away with doing whatever they want to, you need to pity them. You know, you youngsters, you need to just say, I am so sad for my friend at school that they don't have a mom and dad telling them. They don't have rules. They can do whatever they want. They can stay with whatever they want. They can stay up all night long if they want to. They can do whatever they want. You need to say, I feel so sorry for them. They're going to make a mess of their life. And us who are older can look back at some of our peers in school. And you look where they are now today. You know, I often wondered, I've graduated from high school a long time ago. A long time ago. 50 years or close to it, somewhere in there. And I often wonder, I think of some of those kids in my class. They didn't have any fences in those days. They did what they wanted to. They didn't follow the rules. They broke the rules. They did what they wanted to do. in their lives, most of them have made a crash. They've made a mess of their lives. And now they look back, even if they wanted to fix things up, they say, can't do anything about it now. I've made a mess. It's bad. We need to pity them if they have no one to guide them. You know, just like that grapevine that is untrained, or you take a dog and you get a little puppy and you don't train that dog and you let it do whatever it wants to, you're going to have a feral dog that will be dangerous. You may even bite people because you've not trained him at all. They need training. It's all important to put that fence around them and guide them. And many sins of the youth leave scars and pain that haunt people for the rest of their lives. And every one of us adults can think of people that we know that have scarred their lives so badly that they can't fix it. Their lives are a mess. And it hurts. It hurts terribly. But then that brings us to God's promises. He gave us His instructions, His reasons. Now He brings us to His promises down in verse number 23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The parental rules and instructions give us needed light. He first of all says here that the commandment is a lamp. All right? Now, a lamp in those days would have been a little clay dish with a oil in it and a little wick sticking off the side that they would light, and it would give off a little bit of light. If you've ever had that kind of light, it wouldn't be much different than what we would call a candle today. You can get some pretty decent light from a candle, but it doesn't go very far. And so the light of this lamp would lighten the immediate area around to keep you from immediate danger. But then he uses another word there. He says the instructions are like a light. This word refers to a light like the sunlight that shines brightly. And it will brighten up. So these instructions, there's the fences around, the laws and the rules that are like the lamps, but instructions are the sunlight that enlightens, and it enables them to see well the whole area clearly so that they can make right choices and right decisions. And so those instructions that mom is pumping into our hearts and dad is teaching us, and we're training these instructions to guide you in your morals and in your thoughts and in your mind and your actions, these will help you to be able to stay in the light, the bright light that will lead you and guide you so you can make good decisions in life. And then he goes on and he says, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So the phrase reproofs of instruction, it literally refers to correction of discipline or rebuke of chastening. It has to do with both verbal and punishment. And he says the rules without enforcement are useless suggestions. Won't do much good. That's why the public schools today are so chaotic, because they can't enforce anything. They give some suggestions to the kids, and if they don't want to do it, they don't do it, because there's no punishment behind it. And punishment is needed in order for there to be true instruction. A child's sinful nature is foolish. He chooses fun over work, selfishness over sharing, and rebellion over submission. That's natural. Part of our foolish nature. That's why Solomon wrote for us God's words there in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's there because of our birth. God has given parents His authority to enforce the rules and instructions. In fact, He commands them to do so. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, we read, "And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Those two words, nurture and admonition, are words that we don't fully understand without digging into them a little bit. Nurture has to do with instruction with discipline. It incorporates the discipline, it's instruction with discipline. And admonition is warnings and exhortations. So you have the two sides of it. There's one that is the disciplinary side that instructs with discipline, enforcing it, and then the other is the warnings and the exhortations and the rebukes. But he says that they have to be guided by the Lord. They're admonition of the Lord. We have God's promise that these will lead us to life. Did you see the end of the verse? For the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Enforced rules and instructions, how do they lead us to life? There's two ways. Two ways it does that. Number one is that the enforced rules and instructions lead to a better and a longer life on earth. People that have learned to stay within the boundaries, they have a much happier life. They don't get in trouble. They're not down at the police station, you know, getting booked for some crime. They are much more settled and happy and successful in life because they've learned to stay within the boundaries. And a young person who obeys and cherishes the rules and instructions of his parents will avoid bad friends, trouble with the law, shattered relationships, drunkenness, and bad reputation. Then on the other hand, enforced rules and instructions given by the parents who love the Lord and live godly examples before their children will include regular and clear instruction from God's Word, and this will lead their children to eternal life. Now it's true, everybody has to make their own choice. With the very best instruction, a child can still say, nope, that's not for me, I don't want it, and turn it down. But the chances of them receiving salvation from the Lord, having grown up in a home with fences and laws and instruction from the Scriptures, is far greater than the children out there that don't get any of that instruction. And so in these two ways, it leads to life. So as we wrap this all up, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 to 23, God tells us here that we have His instruction, His reasons, and His promise to help us and our children to have happier and more productive lives. Now you need to decide, what are you going to do with it? God's told us, the laws are there for us, they're there to help us, but we got to make a choice. You know, as parents, we have to make a choice. Am I going to discipline myself and take the extra work to be able to implement this? And as children, am I going to submit to this and obey this and cherish this and tie it about my neck and hide it in my heart and hold on to it because I know that it's helpful and good for me? We got to make a choice. And if we put them into practice, we'll benefit greatly from them, both now and for all eternity. If we ignore them, life's going to be a bumpy road. And it may be very well a road that leads to a crash, both now and for all eternity. Choose God's way. God's way is the best.